Sir.
Wonderful. Okay, yesterday we left off with a little confusion. I'm just gonna try to recap, just a drop for a minute. What the Gemara was saying, it's not the pshat, but it is a pshat, mahalach, that maybe could work. I don't think it's really the real pshat, but anyway, let's just review it real quick. Which is that the Mishnah said that if you give a guy your peiros, it's kepei reisav, which we've been translating means it's tevel vadai. And Rav Shimon says that it is demai. The question was, how come Rav Yechanan said what? In the case of what? In the case of one person, one Jew gives a nachri, or whatever this oitzer, or whatever it was called, and he has 100 other people who are goyim, and nonetheless, in that case, he says that it's halacha like demai. What's going on over here? How could it be tevel in one case? And really, in that case, there's only one person. We're not dealing with 100 people. And over here, where there's 100 people, he's still saying it has a lot of like demai. So what's going on over here? So that was the question. And so therefore, one second, was that the question? Oh, wait a second, I'm saying a different question. Yeah. I'm sorry. And then there was another question. That was a good question, but that was the last question. The last question was, how come, when it comes to being Neitel Domim and HaShevet, right, that was the question. How come the Rabbanon, or the Gemara said, what's the difference between the Rabbanon, who say this, that it is Kepei Reisav, that it's Vadai, and Reb Shimon, who says it's Demai, and the answer to that was, that in one case, he can charge, according to Reb Shimon, he can charge the Kohanim for the Truma. And the question, therefore, what? Then the Gemara ends off with a final question, which was, what's the pshat in the Rabbanan? L'chayra being mafresh peiros from chutz la'aretz. That is a din, which is for sure he can go ahead and charge money to the Kohanim. That's a given, because that's, I guess, meikara. We know that there's no din d'oraisa whatsoever. There's no mucker in any level that there should be a din of trumas and meiser. So therefore, there you could for sure charge money. So how come that should be more chummer than the case where you're choshesh that maybe he switched it? Because on that side, remember, one side he was giving him peiros, which was his own peiros, which were masukin. So there was a big side to say if he didn't switch it, that he didn't have to give anything. So the Gemara thought for Davar Pashit that if over there in Chutz La'aretz you couldn't charge, you could charge rather, then surely in this case you could charge. That was the Gemara's kash. Okay, so the Gemara's answer is going to be that the end result was that the tevel, when we said it was kepei reisav, that it doesn't really mean what we've been saying all along, the kepei reisav, that it was tevel mamish for sure. Maybe it was possible that it was. You have to remember that tevel of a guy, if a guy went ahead and did a gemar malacha in his rishos, then it's completely exempt. So there is a tzad that it's completely putter from so. In fact, that's the way the Rambam explains Kippei Reisav. We've been saying Kippei Reisav means it's Tevel. But Kippei Reisav really has a dual meaning, because if the guy went ahead and did the Gemar Malacha, then it's completely Mufka from the din of Meiser. It's only if you took the guy's Peiros before it was in the Gemar Malacha and you were Geimer it, that's when it becomes Chayav. So Kippei Reisav really could mean two different things. Sometimes it means it's Tevel, sometimes it means it's totally potter. So Dilmar, Ikol Tivle Shulgayis Amr, so maybe the Chacham and Reb Shimon are really arguing on a different level. Reb Shimon is saying that it's Demai, and this Bryce over here, Reb Huda, Reb Shimon, Oimrim, they're talking about the din of whether there's Kenya Lagai, Barish Yisrael, Tepacham from Maisras. So on that, they said, Reb Shimon's Maida, that you're Mafresh Maisras Midrabbanan. Even though it's going to be different. They're talking about different things here. I still don't have the pshat right, so let's get going. Okay, halacha 5. Hainoisin lepundokis. One who gives, you're staying in an inn, and you're going to give the innkeeper your peiros overnight to watch for you, okay? So ma'aser ashur hainoisin la, he gives ma'aser. There's a rule that a chaver cannot be ma'aser v'tach tzio dov shen masukun. So therefore, when he gives her his peiros to watch, he has to take ma'aser before he gives it to her. He can't give her tevel. Okay, even though supposedly she's just supposed to take it, keep it overnight, and they hand it right back in the morning. She's not supposed to be eating anything here. Nonetheless, this is the rule. A chaver has to be makvid. Nothing goes out of his hands that's not masukim. That's the first halacha. That's shunaitam imenah. And now when he takes it back, he also has to be meiser it again. Why? Because maybe she switched it. You know, why would she switch it? So here she doesn't mean to switch it. We just said in the previous Mishnah that when you give an amma aretz tava, we're not cautious that they're going to be chay, that they're going to be switching it. Remember, that's what we said. Let's go back to the previous mishnah. These mishnayos work in tandem. You have to remember the kolon from the previous mishnayos in order not to, so that they shouldn't be, shouldn't be soyser each other, right? So it said hamoyla chitov on daf chavtes. It said hamoyla chitov l'tchon im hakuti olatchon. Because costs on the Maisa Slushis that they retain their original Chazaka the way I gave them. They're not going to steal it. They're not going to switch it. So over here, she's not Ma'aretz. So why are we in question that she's switching it? The answer is it's for the Tova of her resident. She feels she's doing the resident a favor. She sees, here's this Talmud Chacham. And he's got his stuff is not so good. I have better quality. I'll go ahead and give my better quality to him. So as before, we were talking about she would switch it for her inferior quality for your better for the chavis better quality. Here is the opposite. That's why over here you have to be miser what you take.
I thought it was the other way around.
What's the other way?
That she's justifying taking his stuff. Because hers is better.
No.
But she's entitled to it because she gave
No.
Sure.
No.
It's a
machlokas. It's a machlokas what?
Which one did you two are right?
What, why is he right?
If you take a look on...
What am I looking at?
Take a look at 7, last column, Bavli.
Oh, Bavli! Bavli, I didn't see anything about a Bavli. Yeah, let's see. So the Bavli asked the contradiction between this Mishnah and the previous one, right? That's what we just said. We said in our Mishnah, it says that the Am Aretz is suspected of exchanging. But the previous Mishnah said the Am Aretz is not suspected of exchanging. So the Bavli answer is what? In general, Am Aretz are not suspected of exchanging. An innkeeper, however, is an exception because she rationalizes that this is permitted. The nature of her rationalization is the subject of this group in Rashi and Taisus. According to Rashi, she's exchanging superior food for her lodgers for inferior food. That's what I said. She rationalizes there's nothing wrong with this since it's her intention to benefit the lodger. According to Taisus, she exchanges her inferior food for her lodger's superior food. Although she defrauds him by doing so, she rationalizes her services on his behalf entitle her to his superior food. So what Chaim said is Taisus. What I said was Rashi. Rashi and Taisus. I never said it.
The reason is because he's giving her the food to prepare for him, according to the way the Rambam learned it.
Because what?
He gives her food so she can prepare it for him so that he can eat it.
Yeah, that's the Rashi. That's the Rashi's shot. Yeah. Yeah, okay, very good. So, thank you for bringing that to my attention. I'm Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Yosi says, what are we worried about, these swindlers? You only have to take Mises away from what she gives back to him. In other words, he doesn't have to be Ma'aser what he gives her, because who cares what she does with it? She's not supposed to take it, so I'm not causing her to make to do an Avera. She's not supposed to touch in this.
This woman is an Amaretz?
Yes.
Is sounds like what we're saying is that she's doing this, that's like at least according to the one sheet, though, is that she's doing this with intent.
Yes.
So let me clarify. It is her intention, I'm giving him something that's not Masugan, or that's beyond her, that's beyond her Bechira, so to say. She's not concerned with Meiser. She just knows that he gave me something, and I'm going to give him something that's better. It's not, is the husband in her mind, I'm going to be giving him something that's better, even though it's not Masugan?
No, she isn't thinking on that level, I don't believe so.
No, I mean, yeah, because if she was...
I mean, let's suppose, I didn't go to this level of her thought, but let's suppose you would go that level.
No, so then my question would be, then according to Rabbi Yossi, then just the whole question of demai falls apart then. There should be no such thing as demai then. Because then, in theory, every time you have demai, it's the amart knows what he or she is doing.
Demai is I bought something from one of my arets and I have to be ma'aser because he may not have done it. That's what demai is. So that's nothing to do with this machlokes. Yeah, this is a question of how much you have to be worried about what you're giving her. Okay. Yeah. So the Gemara says, he has a hagdama here. There's a mishnah in Ma'aser Sheni, which has a similar machlokes. Over there it says that they used to go ahead and mark off, there were certain payers which were arla, and they would mark off, you know, they put some powder or some simen, whatever it was, to let people that were going in there shouldn't eat it, because it's arla, of course, also by noah. So the Gemara says that the medrash that was with Shvius, Rabbi Yossi, that is to say, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, rather, he held that was only during Shvius year where it was mutter for the person to come into my backyard to begin with to take the payers. So there, I want to, you know, you can come take payers. Make sure you don't take this arla because this is also my no. But if it will be the rest of the years, so then you don't have any right to come into my backyard to take stuff. Why should I protect you from eating arla? He's the famous Lashon, Hali Tehu L'Rasha V'Yomas. Let's stuff the Rasha's stomach and let him drop dead. You know, that's a famous expression. So, you know, I've always said that there's two types of yidden. There's yidden who are concerned for their fellow yidden, and there's a halitela rush of yomus yid. So I won't tell you which one I am. Basically, you don't have to worry about, you know, that other guy is just cheating. So anyway, so now that sounds very, very similar to the machlokes in our Mishnah. Rabbi Yossi is saying the same thing. What are you got to take ma'aser before you give it to the innkeeper? What are you worried about? It's her problem. If she steals, let her choke on it, you know, so to speak, right? So that's, Rabbi Yossi is in line with Rav Shimon Gamliel. And our Tanakama is in line with the Chacham. That's the one I was going to say now. Rabbi Yossi, Rav Shimon Gamliel, Shneim, Omud Dover Echad. They both said the same thing. Kamad Rabbi Yossi Amar Ein Onor Acham L'Ram Moim. Kein Rav Shimon Gamliel Amar Ein Onor Acham L'Ram Moim. Same thing. Same exact thing. So the Gemara says, no, there's a difference. Right? And you could come up with a difference on your own, really. You're not even reading the Gemara. Remember, in Rav Shimon Gamliel's case, we're talking about someone coming into my backyard and eating something without permission. I had nothing to do with it. In our case, I had everything to do with it. I handed her these payers. So that's much different. If I'm handing someone payers, that's much different than if someone's just walking into my backyard stealing. So, Mestavra, the Rabbi Yossi, Yoydi, the Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Gemara says it's reasonable to suggest that Rabbi Yossi would agree with Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, lo yoydi, the Rabbi Yossi, but Rabbi Shimon Gamliel doesn't necessarily have to agree with Rabbi Yossi. Why? Rabbi Yossi, the Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, she'ain on the rock or on the one. We don't have to worry about the swindlers. But Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, lo yoydi, the Rabbi Yossi, it's like a din. You can't be moitzi from your house. You can't give the innkeeper, in other words, payers which have not been masukin. So therefore, those don't necessarily, right? Now, it's just interesting to note, by the way, if you follow, match it, if you try to match up halacha. So I happen to have just seen this. We paskin like of Shimon Gamliel, Halei Tehel Rosh V'yomos, right? So if you hold that they're saying the same thing, then you should pass like Rav Yossi in our Mishnah. But in fact, we don't pass like Rav Yossi in our Mishnah. So it's you try to work out that that match. Okay? Yeah. Next halacha, 32b. Lama Bey's own base. Hanoisin l'chamoisin. Now here you're giving your mother-in-law food. Again, you're the chaver, you're the big talmid chacham, and your mother-in-law is, as in many cases, is the amor.
Now, and you want her to cook the food for you.
I'm only interested in her cooking and nothing else. Hanoisin l'chamoisin, you give your mother-in-law, who's an amor, so what do you do? Ma'asra shu noisin-law. You have to give her, you have to take miser off what you're giving her. You're going to give her, let's say, some flour to make dough out of to make a challah. And then when she gives you back the challah, that's shum noitomim, you're going to have to take miser out of whatever she gives you back. Neshi chashudu l'chalef is hamis kalkal. She's chashud, not she's going to steal anything, but she's chashud is that at the first try, you know, she might have spoiled the food, she might have burnt her first, you know, attempt of making that challah. And then she'll say, you know what, I can't give this food to my son-in-law, burnt food. I'll just go ahead and throw this out, and I'll try again with my own food. And so since we're afraid that that's what she did, so you have to take meiser from what she gives you back. Because she's, of course, an amaretz. So Amar Yehuda, roiti b'takonos bito, uboishu mechasona. This is really explaining the Tanakhama. This is not a machlokas. He's giving you two reasons behind. In fact, the Gemara is going to say that the Tanakhama is Rabbi Yehuda. That there are two reasons why. A, because you know she's embarrassed from her son-in-law to feed him something burnt. And B, she doesn't want her daughter, who's married to this guy, to get a bad meal. She wants her to eat well as well. So she has both parties' best interests in mind. Umayda Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda agrees. But noisin lachamoisei shvius. So now this is a big shaila. What this means? Giving your mother-in-law shvius. So it could mean either the way he translates it here that you're giving your mother-in-law food to prepare during. That's a key word there in the brackets. You're giving it to her during shvius. Doesn't mean you're giving her shvius food. You're giving her food during shvius. So now, what you gave her was 100% non-shvius food. The chash that she would switch food, even though maybe that we had in the Tanakhama a chash that you're going to switch it for other food, in a case of food getting ruined. But one thing you don't have to be worried about, no matter what, even if she would ruin your food, she would never give you shvius food, because shmita is very chomer in the eyes of the Am Haaretz, and they would never switch it for shvius food. So that's what it's saying here in the end. Might Rabbi Yehuda,
even though she's an Am Haaretz, she knows about shvius.
She knows about shmita. She has your shemayim. She'ena chashudu l'hachlef, l'hachlef bita shvius. She's not going to. Here, notice that we've dropped the son-in-law out of the picture now. She doesn't want to give her daughter shvius. Okay. I'm Rabbi Yechanan. I'm just going to mention briefly that the Rambam holds that shvius means shvius mamash, you're giving, like shutach mashmo, that you gave her shvius food, that you're not choshish that she's going to switch it for other shvius food, something like that. I'm not 100% sure. There are other ways of learning.
What is the pshat that changes to bita?
What?
What is the pshat that changes to bita?
No, it's only counting one of them.
No, she has to shoot a half the five because bita shvius. Like you said before,
it
was talking about the son-in-law.
It said both. Right here, but I call it bita,
u'boisha. Oh,
okay. You missed that line. Yeah, you said that. Amar Rabbi Yechanan, so Rabbi Yechanan says, afkan ma'isal beitu Rabbi Yehuda. Even the ratio of the Mishnah was also the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda, Amar, ha'nesin l'cham ma'isal, ha'nesin l'pundokis. Your mother-in-law is just like you gave to an innkeeper. In other words, just like an innkeeper is suspected of switching it for the lodger, so too her, she is. Now, is there someone that's koyluk on our Mishnah? The answer is yes. Rabbanan Amrin, Hanaisin Lachamaisa, Kanaisin Lashkantai. That it's just like giving food to your neighbor. Just as your neighbor is not suspected of switching food that he gets from his fellow neighbor, so too the mother-in-law also is not suspected. So the rabbis, like it says in footnote 12, disagree with Rabbi Huda's comparison, and they say the innkeeper might make it an exchange, but the mother-in-law will not. Okay. Now, Kahadot Tony. The price is like this. A nice nashkante pass lafos by. If you give your neighbor a dough to bake into a bread, tafshal asis, no, you give him raw materials to make into a cooked dish. And a cheshish, lomishon shrius, lomishon maishis, you don't have to be worried about anything being switched. No concern. Ema, saimus nashkantin los, or of a tablet. That's if you gave her the yeast and the spices with which to make the bread become, to rise and to season the dish. But if you didn't give, you only give her the raw materials, but the spices and the side things you did not give to her, then you do have to be worried about it. We're afraid that she's going to leaven the bread and spice the dish with Shvias produce. Now, what about the non-Shvias years? You have to be concerned that it was tevel. Okay? The Gemara is asking an interesting question over here. That what happens if she's your mother-in-law, but she's now you're only your mother-in-law during the Erisin year? Remember in the old days, the Arusa year was 12 months. So during those 12 months, where was your future wife to be? She was living at home with her mother. Now, in that case, so we've got two reasons quoted in the Mishnah, right? One reason was she's embarrassed from her son-in-law. The second reason was she didn't want her daughter to have a bad meal.
Only if they're married.
Now, if she's not living with the husband, there's no chash that your daughter's going to get a bad meal. So the question is, are both reasons necessary to make it that she's not kosher, or is even one adequate enough? That's what's behind the question. Nishmina min hada, mayde Rabbi Huda, benoisin l'chamayisim shviyas. We could learn it from the end of the Mishnah, where it says that if you give her stuff to prepare during Shvias, you're not koshet. So what does that prove? Shan yehi tamon bein min ha'erusin bein min ha'asuin. Is there any difference between whether she is an erusin min ha'asuin? For sure not. Why is it for sure not?
19.
This reason applies to a mother-in-law from the Suin whose daughter will be affected by such an exchange. If mother-in-law from the Suin who has two motives is not suspected of Shvias produce, certainly a mother-in-law from Erisin who has only one such motive is not suspected. What kind of Kal v'chomer is that?
That's the Mishnah statement that a mother-in-law not suspected of the Suin feeding her during Shvias produce also implies that she's not suspected after Erisin feeding her.
Why? How do we go from the Suin to Erisin?
Why is Erisin more?
What's the problem with more?
What are the two motives for the Suin?
We have two motives. We have two motives. One is her son-in-law, and one is her daughter.
Right, so the second motive doesn't apply only after Erisin, because she's not worried about the son-in-law yet. She's still.
The second one is which one? The daughter or the son-in-law?
Son-in-law.
The son-in-law, she's not worried about during the Erisin year?
She's not.
That sounds like it.
Why?
Because he's not with her. They're living separately in the Erisin year.
It says over here, in the previous paragraph, it says, two, she's embarrassed to return spoiled food to her son-in-law. The second reason applies both Me'erison or from the Suin. The first reason with the daughter is only during the Suin. Only the Suin lives with her husband is affected by an exchange of food.
So if you want to, if it's two, you want to, if one, you're right. What's the call of karma? It's the other way around.
One second. Wait one second. How did I miss this? This went right over my head. I thought I knew this. Another Gemara you messed up. This is becoming a habit. Let's see what it says over here in the Mefarshim here. Let's take a look at Rashi Zerila.
It's a variant to this, it seems like.
What?
It seems to be a variant to this.
He says in our Cyrillo, time will have a mission to Ba'ashe Rabbi Yehuda Chamira Lehu Shvias. Right. Achinami Yocha Lo Yishno. Bavi Masis and Dami Ladoni Lo Olam Mechalafes. The Pnei Moshe says, that he makes the observation that I made when I read the Mishnah. The Pnei Moshe says the Pshat is because in the Mishnah it only mentioned Bito when it mentioned Shvias. It dropped the Chasno out of the picture altogether. So therefore, it seems to be telling us that there is no distinction in Shvias whether it's been Eris or Menan Esuin. Even though in Svara we gave a Svara for a difference, but in terms of the Mishnah, when it quoted the halacha of them, look at the Pnei Moshe. Second to last line. Nishmini Menado, the Ketani Sefer, Amari Rabbi Yehuda, Bechi Shani Hi Taman, Beimin Ha'erisim, Beinah Ha'nesuin, Halom Idkar Shom Chasna, there it doesn't mention her son-in-law. Vimkein Vadei En Chiluk, there's definitely no distinction whether it's been Erisim and Ha'nesuin. So since from that diuk we're making a diuk that it's even mina erison, so therefore in this case also avchacha bereisha chonagavna he lo shani ben mechamos mina erison ben manasun. That was the maskana. There's no difference. Okay, hajan aloch machilas aniyim. Okay, kol tov rabbi.